Good morning. Today's daf is daf tes zayin. Bokatov. And we're on the last word on daf tes vav and beis, this sanya. The Gemara is now going to bring a source for the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi with regard to tumas mashkin. As far as whether or not mashkin, once they contract tumah, do they convey tumah? The sanya. Safek mashkin. Now, what's the case here? We're talking about a safek tumah that was generated by mashkim. In other words, let's say a person who's tameh, and now he stretches his arm out into mashkim, and we're not sure if he actually came in contact with mashkim. Hoshit yado v'hu tameh. Or, for example, hoshit is raglo. Let's say he stretches his leg out. And there's a suffix whether he had contact with the mashkin or not. Litame, as far as number one, tumas atzmo, meaning the mashkin themselves. Tame, the mashkin themselves contract tuma, and that's a doraisa halacha. And therefore, we apply the principle of Sofik Doraisa Lechumra in a case of Rishus HaYochid, so that now that he stretches his leg out and there are mashkim there, we're not sure if he came in contact with the mashkim, we have to be Mitami the mashkim Mitzad Sofik because of the principle of Sofik Tumah Rishus HaYochid Sveiko Tomek. However, if there's a Sofik with regard to Letame Acherim is concerned, let's say for example, after he was nogea in mashke, now the mashke themselves may or may not have come in contact with something else. So that's called letame acherim. So we're not sure whether or not the mashke was in a position where it could convey tuma to something else. For example, let's say a person is holding onto a staff, a stick in his hand, and at the head of the stick, there's mashke, and that mashke is tame. And now he throws the stick amongst various, let's say, loaves of bread, which are tahorim, and we don't know if that mashke came in contact with one or the other of the loaves of bread. Is in this case, we're going to apply the principle of safek tahor. Now, why is that so? After all, we're dealing with a case of mashkim tmeim, and we're dealing with a case of Rishus HaYochid. We have the principle of Safik Tum Rishus HaYochid Tzveiko Tameh. But the answer is because the ability of Mashkem to convey Tuma to something else, the Tameh Acherim, is only Midrabanan. And now we're going to apply the principle of Safik Drabanan Lekula. So therefore, when the Rabbanan made this Gzera, and they said that not only are Mashkem Mekabel Tuma Bi Atzmo, but they can also convey tumah letame acherim, that gzera was not made in the case of Safek. The Rabbanan only instituted that gzera, that tumah, in a case of Vaday, but not in the case of Safek. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chein hayu Rabbi Elazar omer kidvarav. Oh, we're going to have a long discussion in the sugya about Rabbi Elazar. Did Rabbi Elazar really adopt the same position as Rabbi Meir? But in the meantime, let's just summarize the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is holding that mashkim mitzad tumas atzmon is doraisa, but letame asachirim is only derabonon. And Rabbi Elazar apparently agrees. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the braisa now quotes a dissenting view of Rabbi Yehuda, and he's going to say lekol hu tame. In other words, the suffix in a case of tumas mashkin is always tame. And that applies not only in the case of tumas atzmon, if we have a suffix whether or not the tame had contact with the mashkin, that for sure we're going to be machmir, and that's a doraisa halacha. But not only that, even if the mashkin, there's a suffix whether it had contact with others, for example, an adam or kelim, or ochlin and kelim, in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that mashkin metamim acherim min haTorah, and therefore we have a suffix doraisa, and therefore, Bein Ochlin or Bein Kalim, whether or not the suffix was if the Mashkim came in contact with Kalim or with Ochlim, in all cases we're going to be Machmir Misafik because we're having a suffix Tuma Doraisa. So that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that not only on a Doraisa level on Mashkim Makabal Tuma, but moreover, they transmit Tumah, and that's also Doraisa. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, they make a compromise sheet. La'ochlim tmeim, le'kelim tahorim. The power, the ability for mashkim tmeim to convey Tumah to other subjects, to other objects, that's on a Doraisa level limited to ochlim. So that mashkim amitamim ochlin minatora, therefore suffik in ochlim would be lechumra. However, with regard to kelim tahorim, which means that let's say you had a case where these mashkim that were tmeim spilled near various kelim, we don't know which keli might have come in contact with that mashke. In such a case, we're going to say suffik lekula. Because the ability of mashkim to be metame on a doraisa level, to convey tumah, is limited to ochlin. But as far as kelim is concerned, that's only a derabbanan, and the rabbanan would not go there in a case of suffering. Now getting back to Rabbi Elazar, this braisa records an agreement between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir to differentiate between tumas atzman, which is doraisa mashkin, as opposed to letame esachir, which is only derabbanan. So the Gemara immediately asks, "V'savar Ablazer Mashkin Islehu Tuma Bi Olam?" Does Rabbi Elazar, in fact, as recorded in this Braisa, maintain that there is Tuma Doraisa in the case of Mashkin, at least as far as Tumas Atzmon is concerned? Is that really Sova Sanya? We have a Braisa that says Rabbi Elazar Omer Ein Tuma LaMashkin Kol Ikar. Then on a Doraisa level, Mashkin have no Tuma whatsoever. Lomi boy, that they cannot convey Tumah to Acherim, neither to Ochlin or to Kelim. But even as far as Tumas Atzmon is concerned, Elem Tumah Kol Ikar. So how could we reconcile that with the Braisa that maintains that Rebbe Loza holds like Rabbi Meir, who says that Mashkin are Tmeim Do'orais, and therefore if you have a suffix, whether the Tumah, let's say it was a Tumah Mess, or whatever he came in contact with the Mashkin or not, we have to be Machmir, Midin, Safek, Tumah, Shusay, Yochit, Tzveko, Tomei. Not only that, this Braisa that we're quoting now, we'll call it Braisa number 2, has Rabbi Eliezer proving his Shita from the Edus of Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda. And that's the word Teda here. Share, because now, there's a Masechta, as you know, called Edios, which is a compilation of various testimonies of Tanoim in rulings in Halacha, and one of the Balei HaMesorah of the transmission of Torah was Yosei Ish Tzreda, and he was of the opinion that with regard to a certain kind of grasshopper, which is called Ayal Kamtza, Ayal Kamtza Docha, Docha means it's Tahar, and in this case Tahar means that it's Kosher Achil, you're allowed to eat this kind of grasshopper. That's not so relevant to us right now. We're not learning the laws of Chagovim, but the second Edus, the second testimony of Yossi Tzreda, is what's relevant to us. And that is, V'al Mashkim Beis Mitbachaya Dochan. Dochan, again, as we said before, means Tar, or here in this case, Tahoru. And we're talking about Mashkim, and they're not Makabel Tumah. Now, where aren't they Mekabel Tumah? We know that Mashkin are Mekabel Tumah. And we were vacillating back and forth whether or not Mashkin are Mekabel Tumah Do'oraisa or only Do'rabbanan. We're going to see from Yossi ben Yoezer that he's of the opinion that Mashkin are only Mekabel Tumah Mid'rabbanan. What do we mean? Let me give a little bit of a comparison. We had, if you remember, at the end of Masechta Erevin, a principle called Ein Shvus B'Migdash, which means that various Isurim D'Rabbanan, various enactments where the Rabbanan took a stricter view, were limited to Medina outside the Migdash, they don't apply in the Migdash. Perhaps because Kohanim's Rizim Heim. Here, we have another Another manifestation of this difference between the Migdash and Chutz LeMigdash, in a case of what's called Tuma Durabanan. And what that means is that when the Rabbanon instituted Tuma, then they only did so outside of the Migdash, but in the Migdash they didn't do so, not because of Kohanim's reason that I mentioned before, but for a different reason. And that is Shalola Harbos Psulim B'Migdash B'Kodshim. They didn't want to expand the amount of Kodshim that had to be gotten rid of, had to be Psulim, because if they would insist on Tuma D'Rabbanan, then there'd be a lot of Kodshim that would have to go to the Beis HaPsul, that would have to be burnt because of their Tuma status. So that when the Rabbanan instituted the Tuma, they did so only outside the Beis HaMikdash, but not inside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, here we have a phrase in the Gemara called Beis Mitbachaya. Now, this phrase, Beis Mitbachaya, is a reference to the northern part of the Mizbeach in the Azara, and that's where the Shechita of the Karbanos took place. And it comes from the word Litvach. Litvach means to shecht, right? Tvicha and Zvicha and Shechita, those are all synonymous terms. So anyway, that was the area in the Migdash where they did the Shechita for the Karbanos. Now, in that area of the Azara, they also did what's called Hadocha. Hadocha means they took water and they cleaned off the innards of the animal, that of the behemoth Bosar Kodshim. And the reference here of the Edus of Yossi ben Yoezer to Mashkim shel beis mitbechaya is a reference to the dam or the mayim that was in that part of the Azara, and he establishes that they're not makabel tuma. Now, what does that mean? Let's go back to the Doraisa level. If we assume that Tumas Mashkin is the Oraisa, like for example Rabbi Meir, and in our Braisa number one, Rabbi Lozo agrees to Rabbi Meir that Tumas Mashkin is the Oraisa, then we have no way of understanding this Edus of Yossi Ben Yoezer, because how could it be that Tuma de Oraisa would not apply in the Beis Mitbachaya? The Rabbanan don't have the authority to undermine Tuma de Oraisa. Meaning, if the Kodshim are Tmeim, we cannot bring them on the Mizbeach. And not only that, the law would have to be that, let's say in these cases of Tmeim, that you'd have to bring a second Karban to replace the first Karban. All that would make no sense if Mashkin on Makabel Tuma D'Oraisa, which is in fact Rabbi Meir's Shita, and the first price records that Rabbi Lozer accepts that Shita. The only way of understanding this Shita of Yossi ben Yoezer is if we grant the premise that even on a Doraisa level, Mashkim eino makablum tuma kol ikar. It's only a tuma de Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon did not insist on that tuma de Rabbanon in Beis Mitbachaya, because that would increase psulim and tuma in the Migdash. So therefore, in this second braisa, Rabbi Lozer quotes this Edus of Yossi ben Yoezer as a proof that Ein lehem tuma kol ikar. So it's clear from this braisa that Rabbi Lozer is of the opinion that on a deraisa level, there is no tumas mashkin. There's only tumas mashkin derabbanan, but that's outside of the Beis Mitbachaya. So how then can the first braisa postulate that there is an overlap here, an equation between the Shita of Rabbi Lozer and the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Lozer agrees to Rabbi Meir, who says that there is Tuma as far as Mashkin being Makabel Tuma, although they cannot be Metame Achir. So the Gemara now whittles down its kash. What do I mean by whittle down its kash? We're going to have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And the Gemara now is going to say that our kasha here, this contradiction between the two brises, as far as the Shita Rabbi Lozer is concerned, is only in the context of Rav. But according to Shmuel, we can certainly reconcile these two brises. Ha nicha l'Shmuel di Amar dochan milatame tumas acherim aval tumas atzmon yesh lehem. And then we get to the word Shapir. So the Bishlema ends with Shapir. If we accept Shmuel Shita, Shapir, then we can reconcile the two brises, meaning that Enochinami, Rabbi Elazar, as the first brise records, it holds like Rabbi Meir. And there's no contradiction to Rabbi Elazar in the second brise. What is the opinion of Shmuel about Yossi ben Yoezer's testimony? He holds that when Yossi ben Yoezer made this testimony, that Mashke beis mitbachaya are not mitame, correct? Dachan is the word, which means tar. That's only as far as milatame tumas acherim are concerned. But tumas atzmon yesh lehem. Now, we see a perfect overlap between Rabbi Meir, Yossi ben Yoezer, and Rabbi Elazar. They all are b'shita achas. Shmuel's interpreting that when Yossi ben Yoezer made the comment that there's no tumah of mashkin in beis mitbachaya, he wasn't referring to the mashkim themselves being makabel tumah. That's a doraisa halacha. And mashkim are makabel tumah doraisa. We're going to see later on, the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk in Chumash, which is almost explicit that mashkin are makabel tumah. And now Shmuel says that the testimony of Yossi ben Yoezer, in which Beis Mitbachai was excluded from a Durabanan, a Tumah Durabanan, that was with regard to Mashkin being Mitame Acherim, which brings us all the way back to Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Elazar also swings back to Rabbi Meir, that we make a fundamental distinction between Tumas Atzmon and Tumas Acherim. So Tumas Acherim, the ability of the Mashkim Tmeim to convey to him is only the Rabbanon. And on that, Yossi ben Yoezer testifies that the Rabbanon never instituted such a Tumah in the Beis Mitbachaya. So then everything works out beautifully. And now we understand and appreciate the second Raisa, in which Rabbi Elazar quotes Yossi ben Yoezer to support his principle of Eilem Tumah Kol Ikar, meaning Eilem Tumah Letamias Acherim Kol Ikar. So that works out well. Ella, LeRav, Rav didn't understand the testimony of Yossi ben Yoezer the same way Shmuel did. He understood that Dachan means mamish, even as far as Tumas Atzmon is concerned. For the Mashkim to receive Tumah, that also is not the case in Beis Mitbachaya. Meaning that Yossi ben Yoezer went all the way to say that Mashkim did not convey Tumah, they don't even receive Tumah in the Beis Mitbachaya, which means that Mashkim is only a Durabanan, even as far as Tumas Atzmon is concerned. It's Ma'ikel Amemar. We would like to work out Rabbi Elazar in a way that he could fit even into Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Achada. When the first Brisa records a consent, an agreement between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, it was only with regard to one of Rabbi Meir's two positions. Rabbi Meir said that number one, Mashkin are mitamim, right? They become tamei, and number two, they are not mitamei acherim. And when it says V'chein Hayu Rabbi Elazar Omer Kedvarav, it means that he accepted the principle, the ruling of Rabbi Meir with regard to Mashkin, the status of Mashkin L'tamei Acherim, it's tar. But he never went as far as to accept Rabbi Meir with regard to Tumas Atzmo. Rabbi Meir assumed that was his premise, that Mashkin Amakabalim Tumas Atzmo. As we said before, that's almost explicit in the Torah. And here, Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He's going to reinterpret that pasuk, and Mashkin are not makabel tumah kol ikar. Hence, there's no contradiction here between the two brisos. The second brisa indicates clearly that mashkin or not makabel tuma kol ikar. And that those are the words that came out of Rabbi Loza's mouth, as quoted in the second brisa. And not only that, he quotes the testimony of Yossi ben Yoezer, which, according to Rav, means that mashkin or not makabel tuma in the basement b'chaya, because even as far as Kabbalah's Tumas Atzmon is concerned, we're dealing with the Drabbanon, and the Drabbanon never enacted that in the Azor and the Beis HaMikdash. The first Brisa identifies Rabbi Loza with Rabbi Meir. That's only as far as Latame Acherim is concerned. And here Rabbi Loza agrees with Rabbi Meir that Mashkin Tmeim cannot be Metame Acherim. But as far as Tumas Atzmon is concerned, here we have a division of opinion between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar never went as far as to say that the Mashkin are Makabel Tumas Atzmon. According to Rabbi Elazar, Ein Lehem Tumah Kol Ikar, even as far as Tumas Atzmon is concerned. The Gemara says that's a very nice attempt to reconcile, but take a look at the language of the Braisa. There are two indications from the language of the Braisa that this is not so. Vaha, it says Kidvarov Ka'amar. Rabbi Elazar Omer Kidvarov. Kidvarov means, like all of his statements, Dvarov with the Vav Yud, the Yud Vav at the end, means both his statements. Dinafishi, which means that he accepted not only that Mashkin cannot, that Mashkin cannot be Metame Acher, but he did accept the position that Mashkin are Metame is Atzman. Vioden, furthermore, Vaha v'chein k'toni. The Brisa says v'chein hoya Rabbi Elazar Omer. You can't say the v'chein and so too Rabbi Elazar said it when he rejected the principle that Mashkin are makabel tumas atzmon, and he held that Mashkin ain't makabel tumas kol ikar. So the Gemara ends kasha. We really don't understand how we can reconcile these Brisos given Rav's interpretation of the Eidus of Yossi ben Yoez. Gufa, now the Gemara goes back to the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, how to interpret the Eidus of Yossi ben Yoezer. Rav Omar, according to Rav, when Yossi ben Yoezer testified that Mashki beis mitbachaya in the Azara, Atahorim Dochan, Dochan Mamish, meaning Zanat Makabal Tum at all. Shmuel Omer Dochan means Milatame Tumas Acherim, Abel Tumas Atzmon Yeshlehem. Even Yossi ben Yoezer agrees that Mashkim are makabel tumas atzmon, and that's doraisa. If it's doraisa, we said before the rabbanon don't have the authority in the Beis Hamikdash to uproot that din. Kosovar, and we now analyze this machlokas. Rav Omar dochan mamish even litamis atzmon. Kosovri holds that according to Yossi ben Yoezer is Ein Lehem Tumah Kol Ikar Tumas Mashkin. The Rabbanon, the whole entity, the whole enterprise of Tumas Mashkin to make the Mashkin in Tmeim is all the Rabbanon. V'chi Gozer Rabbanon V'mashkin V'alma V'mashkin V'esmit V'chaya Lo Gozer. It means that according to Rav's understanding, Yosef Ben Yoezer, the entire entity, as we said before, of Tumas Mashkin is the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon never impose that enactment with regard to the Beis Mitbachaya. So in Beis Mitbachaya, there's no Tumas Atzmon in Mashkim, and certainly not Tumas Acherim. And all this is based on the fact that we don't want to be Metame Kodshim in the Azor, because that would bring Kodshim Lidei Psul. Shmuel understood Dochan means Milatami Tumas Acherim El Tumas Atzmon Yesh Lehem. Why? Because Sover, he understood that Yossi ben Yoezer was of the opinion that Tumas Mashkin Atzmon Midoraisa. And as I indicated before, that's almost black and white in a pasuk. I'll read to you the pasuk. We're going to see this pasuk quoted immediately. But let's already give a little bit of a far. And the pasuk says in Vayikra Yud Aleph, V'chol Mashke Asher Yishtem Mikol Kli Yitma. A Mashke Yitma. I mean, that's a biblical statement. And that's what Shmuel is saying. But Yitma only means that the Mashkin will be Makabel Tuma. But Letame Acherim, that's only the Rabbanon. He goes the Rabbanon, the Mashkin, the Alma. Mashkin beis mitbachaya, lo gozur. So when it comes to this Gzera de Rabbanon, that the Rabbanon say that Mashkin, which on a Doraisa level, on a Makabel Tuma, on a Rabbanon level, they instituted a tumas acheru. And in that context, says Yossi ben Yoezer, that tumah l'tamis acherim, as a rabbinic institution, was limited to be alma, to outside of the Beis Mikvachai. The chilo gozur, and that which we say that in the Azara, the Rabbanon, the Chachom did not make this gzera, that's only l'tamuye acherim, aval tumas atzman yeshla, because tumas atzman is the raisa, as the pasuk says. Call Mashke Yitma. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinino Librei. So Rav Huna turns to his son and he says, Ki Oilas Lekami the Rav Papa, when you come in front of Rav Papa Romile, ask him the following kash. Mi Omar Shmuel Dochan, Mi Letami Tumasachema Tumasatsman Yeshlehem. Is it really possible that according to Shmuel, we make this distinction, and when Shmuel says that Mashkim in the Beis Mikvachaya is Tahorim, that's only Milutami Acherim, but they do have Tumas Atzman, and Kri Khan, what do we do with the following Pasuk? This Pasuk in Vayikra Zayin is in the context of Basar Kodshim, and it says, "Va'abosa asher yiga b'chol tomei lo ye'ochel." What does that mean? That if you have bosa that's tomei, is kol asher yiga b'chol tomei lo ye'ochel, which means that anything that's tomei, when it comes to kodshim, is mitame. If this object itself is tomei, then the Pasuk is telling me it conveys Tumah and transmits Tumah to the next object that it comes in contact with. So therefore, even if I tell you that a Mashke is not Mitame, but wait a second, the Mashke itself is Tame, and that's what Shmuel's position is. Tumas Atzmo is Doraisa in Mashke. If that be the case, then the Pasuk is telling me that anything that's Tame will convey Tumah. Right, habosar, etc., etc., lo ye'ochel, asher yiga lo ye'ochel. So if we have a principle here that kol dover tame mitame, that anything that in itself is tame is mitame in kodshim, so how can you tell me that mashkin are not mitame acherim min haTorah, and it's only rabbinic, which was limited outside, not in the Azor? It doesn't make any sense, because we derive from this pasuk the principle that any dover tame, when it comes to kodshim, is mitame kodshim. And that's a doraisa halacha. How could Shmuel say, well, the mashkin are makabel tumas atzmo, but they're not mitame tumas acherim? So the Gemara answers, Omer Rav Shisha, Brei de Rav Idi, we're not going to derive from this pasuk that anything that's tame is mitame in kodshim. It's possible that we could have something that is tame and yet it does not convey tuma. And how is that so? Oh, the answer is midi dehavi ariviba kodesh. We have a breakthrough here in the case of Revi. This is a great precedent, because in kodshim you can go from let's say Ava Tumah to Rishon Tumah to Sheni Tumah to Shlishi Tumah, even to Revi Tumah, but not to Chamishi Tumah. So it means that a Revi cannot transmit Tumah to a Chamishi. And if that be the case, we have something that's Tomei v'tumas atzmo, and yet it cannot be Mitami Tumas Acherim. Maskifla Rav Ashi, Revi Bakodesh Lo Ikri Tomei. You're making a mistake here. You're assuming that a Revi is really called Tomei, and yet it's not Mitami Acherim. That's not so. We're going to learn later on a Daf Yud Ches from a Kal V'Chomer that there's something called a psul, that a revi in Kodesh, in Kodshim, is posul, but that's derived from a Kal V'Chomer, and it's only a psul, it's not really tuma. And therefore, when the Pasuk says, as we've been learning it, Abosa Sheyiga V'chol Tomei Lo Yeochel, Hai Ikri Tomei, when we're talking about something that's Tomei, then it conveys tuma, and that's what the Pasuk is referring to. And in the case of Mashke, Mashke became Tomei, and therefore it should be included in this pasuk tame, and therefore by definition ipso facto it should be able to transmit tumah. And don't bring me a proof from Ravi, because Ravi is only a psul and it's not really tame. We only derive from Kal Vachomer that it should be excluded from Kodesh. Kasha, and the Gemara leaves this as an open-ended question on Shmuel. The Achronim are going to go to town here to try to defend Shmuel. Toshma, the Gemara now wants to ask a kasha on Rav, who holds that there's no tum of Mashkim in a Torah Klal. What do we do with this pasuk that we mentioned before called Mashka Sher Yishasa Bechol Kli Yitma? It says explicitly, how much more clear, how clear can you get from the Torah saying that a mashka becomes tamid? So the Gemara answers, my yitma, what does the pasuk mean when it says called mashka yitma? Hichshir. That mashka is machshir lekabel tumah, meaning that any ochlin that come in contact with liquids, with beverages, now are susceptible to tumah. And that's called machshir. So a mashka is machshir something to kabel tumah. And any ochel that comes in contact, as we said before, with mashke or shilova kol mashke ishtebe kol kli, is yachshir satome li tome. So, for example, the parasha there is talking about kli cheres. And kli cheres, the Torah says, is metami viaviro, anything that's inside of the kli cheres, if the kli cheres became tome. And that applies to ochlin, but ochlin only that were huchshar, that had a hechshir through mayim or the other mashkim. And therefore, mashkim are machshir, and that's called yitma. The Gemara asks another kasha now. Hichshir me resha dekra shamitle. Why would the Torah, at the end of the pasuk, when it says kol mashki yitma, repeat what it already had established at the beginning of the pasuk? Let's go back to the beginning of the pasuk. It says mikol ochel asher ye ochel asher yavo all of mayim yitma. The Torah says explicitly that mashke is a machshir as a ochlin lekabel tumah. So the Gemara answers, Chad betlushim vechad bimechubarim. We need two psukim to classify mashkim as machshirim, because there are two types of mashkim. There's mashkim which are tlushim, and there's mashkim which are mechubarim. Mechubarim means they're in their natural state, that you find them, you know, coming out of a spring, and then when you take out the water from there, it's called tlushim. Utsricha, we need two psukim for two categories of mashkim to establish that both of them are machshirim. Tiashmeinon betlushim. I would say that tlushim have a chashivus because he already took this water and he took it out of its natural spring. Mishum da'achshavinu, he gave a certain chashivus to the mashkim by being tolesh, by taking out the mashkim from its natural source. Aval, but I would say that mechubarim emalo. Perhaps when it comes to mechubarim, which you didn't give any special chashivas to, it's in its natural state, its original state, that would not be a machshir. Ve'itana mechubarim. If I only derive from the Torah that mechubarim in its natural state were machshirin, l'chor we should say kal v'chomer, much more so in the case of tlushim. No, mishum dekaima beduchtayu chashivi. The chashivis is that's their natural state. That's where they find themselves, in the ground, coming out of the ground. And that's called a mashke. It's a natural mashke. That's what the Torah says is mashke. Aval tlushim, emolo. But I might think that in the case of tlushim, where you took the water and you removed it from its original state, that would not be a machshir. It loses its chashivus. Tzrichi, therefore, I need two psukim to teach me that both mayim tlushim and mayim chubarim are both machshirim. So let's just summarize what we have until this point. We have a shita of Shmuel, and Shmuel's of the opinion that mashkin on a kabel tumas atzmon, but they're not mitami achirim on a doraisa level, and that tumah is only derabbanan. And that tumah is only derabbanan. And that tumah derabbanan doesn't apply in the Beit Mitbachai. Then we have Rav Shita, and Rashi holds Einem Mekabelim Tuma Kol Ikar, and Mashkin cannot be Mekabel Tuma at all, even Tumas Atzma. So let's take a look at a pasuk in Chumash, Toshma. The Gemara is going to learn an explicit pasuk as a kasha, as an objection to Rav. And it says the following. Ach, this is 4 lines before the end of the Amud here on Tezayin Amud Al. Toshma. Ach mayon ubar mikveh mayim yeh tahar. Now look at the word ach. Ach is always a mim. It always limits something. And the pasuk is saying that a mayon or a bar which have water and can serve as a mikveh, yeh tahar. And the Torah is telling us that here we have mayim mechubarim and tahar, that even if, let's say, a sheretz would fall into the mayim still retains its status as tahar. But the implication is that's only because it's a mayon or a bar, which means it's mechubarim. Had it been tlushim, then it would be mekabel tuma. And that's against the shita of Rav, because Rav holds that mashkin are not mekabel tuma kol ikar, bein b'mechubarim, or even b'tlushin. So what is Rav going to do with this pasuk? Mai yeh tohar, mitum oso. In other words, that it seems that a mei mayon and a mikvah is tohar. What does it mean, tohar, here? And the Gemara is now reinterpreting the word tahar. It means that if a tame is tovil himself, he is tar mitum aso. And why? Because this mikvah is a natural mikvah, as opposed to water that was gathered together, which is called mayim she'uvim. So this pasuk is not coming to tell you that only mechubarim, mayim mechubarim, is not mekabel tumah. No. Mayim, even tlushim, is not mekabel tumah. This pasuk is only telling you that which kind of water has the power to be metara mitumah, so that's only mayim mechubarim, but not mei she'uvim. Now the Gemara asks the following kasha on Rav. Utlushim mimachshirim. Rav told us that the pasuk that we saw before was referring to machshirim, to tell me that mayim tlushim, when they come in contact with ochel, they are machshir the ochel to be mekabel tuma. So the Gemara raises the following objection: V'amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina mashkim shel beis mitbachaya in the Azara, lo dayon shehein tochan. Not only are they tahorim and they don't have tuma, ela she even ein machshirim, they cannot be machshir ochel. We see that Mayim Tlushim, because that's the case that we're talking about here, Mayim Tlushim in the Azara, are not Machshir Ochlin to be Mekabel Tumah, at least not on a Doraisa level, but only on a Drabbanon level. And the Drabbanon said that we want to limit the amount of Tumas Kodshim, and therefore we're not going to institute this Gzera that Mayim are Machshirim in the case of Mayim Tlushim in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we see that we're dealing with a machshirim drabbanon. Again, if tlushim would be machshim in a Torah, then again, as we said over and over again, the chacham don't have the power to be mafkia a tuma d'oraisa in the case of mashkin beis mitbachaya. It must be that this whole institution of mayim being machshir is only on a d'oraisa level, is only bit mechubarim and not bit tlushim. And that's against Rav. So our answer is Tirgumah. We're going to interpret the words of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina when he says that Mashki beis mitbachaya ein machshirin al dam. That the dam of Karbonos, even though dam is one of the seven mashkim, it's not machshir. And it's not referring to Mayim at all. As far as Mayim is concerned, there's no difference between Mayim Tlushim and Mayim Mechubarim. In both cases, it's a Machshir. But the exclusion here is Dam. Dam HaKarbonos is excluded from being and having the status of a Machshir. What's the source from which we derive the conclusion that Dam Kodshim is not a Machshir? It's different than every other Dam. Shenemar, with regard to Dam, it says in Dvar Yud Beis, Lo Sochlenu Ala Oretz Tishpachenu Kamayim. And we derive here that what's considered Dam, and therefore what is a Machshir of Dam, that's only Dam Shenishpach Kemayim. Dam that we throw out, it goes into the rubbish. And in such a case, the Torah says that you don't have to, you know, that since you would not normally gather together that dam, but rather you'd spill it out, therefore it's a machshir. It's called dam. U-machshir. Now here we turn to Tezayin Amud Beis. Avol dam. In the case of dam kodshim, sheino nishpach, kemayim, what do we do with dam kodshim? We makabel in a kli, and we then do zrik al gabim mizbeach. That's not equated to mayim. And therefore, it's not a machshil like Mayim. Maskifla, Rav Shmuel Bar Ami. Now, we go back to the statement here of Rabbi Yochanan on the previous Omud, that Dam Kodshim is not a machshir. And Hare Dam Hatamtzis, De Nishpach Kamayim, Vi Eino Machshir. Not every Dam is collected in a Kli Shores, for the purpose of Zrika. Only the dam that comes out of the Tzavra Behema while the animal is still alive, any dam that comes after the Shechita when the animal is dead, that's called Dam Tamtzis. And Dam Tamtzis is not Machshir. And according to your logic, that the reason why Dam in Kodshim is not Machshir is because it's Eino Nishpach Kamayim, well, what about Dam Tamtzis? Dam Tamtzis is Nishpach Kamayim. We're not going to collect it in a kli because it's not kosher lizrika. Amalei Rav Zera, so Rav Zera responds to Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, Hanach l'dam tamtzis dafilu b'chule nami lo machshir. That dam tamtzis in general is not called dam, even as far as chulin is concerned. So certainly not as far as kodshim is concerned, because in kodshim we have a very limited definition of dam, and we say that dam is not a machshir. So if dam tamtzis is not machshir in chulin, then certainly it's not machshir in kodshim. Kivlu minei Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, and Rav Shmuel accepted this comment, this point of Rav Zera, that the reason why dam tamtzis is not a machshir in kodshim is because the whole source for dam being considered a machshir is derived from a pasuk. Actually, in Bilam, it says Bilam says v'dam chalolim yishteh. You know, he compares Klal Yisrael to the Aryeh, and the Aryeh attacks its prey. And anyway, Dam Chalolim Yishteh. So we see that the word Dam here is referring to Dam as a Mashke. And then it says, V'chol Mashke Asher Yishteh, which we said is the source for Mashkin being Masher, others, Ochlin, L'Kabal Tumah. But Dam Tamtzis, that's not included in this concept of Dam. And why is that? The Omer Rachmona, Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Dam, Ki Adam Hua Nefesh. Because when you take the blood out, you take out the Nefesh. The Nefesh is in the Dam. Is Dam a Nefesh Yotziba Kori Dam? You know, it's if you have a live being, then you take out, you extract the Dam, then it's Nefesh. That's Dam, that's Nefesh. And only Dam that's Nefesh is given the status of Dam as a Machshu. But dam she'ena nefesh yotzibo, if the animal is already dead, that dam is not kori dam. Therefore, it's not included in the pasuk in Bilam of dam chalolim yishteh, and therefore, it's not considered a machshir le'inyon tumah. It's not a mashke le'inyon hechshir tumah. Now the Gemara goes back to Rav. Rav holds that mashki beis mitbachaya are not makabel tumah at all. And that means that Tumas Mashkin is not Do'oraisa. The Torah doesn't have Tumas Mashkin, even as far as Tumas Atzmon. So Gemara now raises an objection to Rav from a Braisa. Toshma, we learned in the following braisa against Rav, and now we get into the sugya called tzitz. As you know, the Kohen Gadol wore a tzitz on his forehead, and that tzitz is meratzeh ala tumah. And the Gemara is going to have al drasha how we derive this from the Torah. So you have a karbon, and they brought the karbon, and it turns out they brought a karbon bitumah. And the tzitz, machlokas, whether it's only when he's wearing it or even when he's not wearing it, but anyway, the tzitz is meratz, it gives ritzui, and it validates the karbon, even though the karbon was brought bitumah. And that generates a kapar for the bala, a karbon, and he doesn't have to bring a replacement karbon. All that is because the tzitz is meratz. Now the braisa says, dam she nitma uzrako, if the dam became tome, and we'll have cases where the Kohen knew about that, cases where he didn't know about that. Shogeg means he had no idea that the dam became tome. And then zroko, they went ahead and they were zorek the dam. And the braisa makes the following distinction. Bishogeg hurza, if the Kohen was unaware of the fact that the dam was tome, and he implemented the zrika, then hurza, then it's mechaper, and it's a valid karbon. And what that means is now, if the dam and the zrika is valid, then you're allowed to eat the basar, whether it's the kohanim in most cases, or in some cases even the bailim, are allowed to eat the basar, the karbon. But b'mezid, if the Kohen knew that this basar was tame, is lo hurza, there's no ritzui of karbon. Now, this din that the tzitz is not meratza in a case of nitma dam and it was mezid, this is based on a sugya much later on in Masechta Pesachim. Maybe as we go along, we'll mention that sugya. We'll see how much time we have. In any event, it's clear from this braisa that the dam of kodshim is makabel tuma. And we said that mashkim, according to Rav, are not makabel tuma at all midoraisa. And we're dealing with the doraisa halacha here because we're talking about ritzui tzitz. So then it must be that when Yosef ben Yoezer was testifying on mashkim that they are dachan, that they are tahorim, he must have meant as far as being metame acherim, but as far as the dam is concerned, for tumas atzmon, the mashke is mekabel tumas atzmon. And this is against Rav, who holds that ein ha-mashke mekabel tumah min ha-Torah kol ikar. The Gemara answers, mir Rabbanon, when it says that the tzitz is meratz in the case of shogi, but not meratz in the case of mezid, all this is on a Rabbanon level. And Delo Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer ish tzreda. This is against Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi said that Tumas Mashkin is only Derabbanon, and Lo Gozal Tumas Mashkin b'migdash, which because it's only a Derabbanon. And therefore, Dam Nitma af b'migdash, v'tzach ritzu tzis k'delach shiro. The Gemara is saying that if we reject Rabbi Yossi and we're of the opinion that Lo Gozru, that the Tumas Mashkin is only Drabbanon, and they didn't institute that Gzera of Tumas Mashkin in the Migdash, but they only made that Gzera of Tumas Mashkin outside of the Azor, outside of the Migdash, then Dam Shenitma, even the Migdash, on a Drabbanon level, it needs ritzui tzitz in order to be machsherit. So the chiddush here, the Gemara, is that ritzui tzitz operates and is necessary even for a case of tuma d'rabbanon. You would have said that ritzui tzitz is only necessary if there was tuma d'oraisa. But now we're saying a big chiddush that even in a case of tuma d'rabbanon, there's a need for ritzui tzitz. Toshma. What are we going to do with another braisa? This second braisa that we're learning now is almost a repeat. The Rishonim have trouble understanding why the Gemara is going to go through the same Shakla V'Tarya again. Toshma, it says in a brice against Rav, that Almat Zitzmeratz al Adam v'al Abosar, we're talking about Dam of Karbonis that became Tomei, or Abosar of Karbonis came Tomei, Chelev of Karbonis came Tomei. Bein v'shogig, bein v'mezid, bein v'onis, bein v'rotzon, bein v'yochid, bein v'tzibur. In any event, it says that the Zitzmeratz al Dam shenitma. Obviously, the Dam is Tomei min HaTorah, and without the Ritzitzitz, this would be a psul in the Zrikas Adam because the dam was contaminated, and that's against Rav, who says that ain lemashkin tumim min haTorah klal. And the Gemara answers midor abonon. You're right, midoraisa. You don't need ritzitzitz, but once you instituted a gzera derabonon, then there's tumah derabonon in mashkin, and therefore you need ritzitzitz even for a tumah derabonon, as we said earlier. Udalo Kirab Yosi ben Yoizi Shtreda, because he holds that they never made a gzera of Tuma Durabonin in Mashkin in the Beis Hamikdash. Toshma, now we can again bring a kasha on Rav from a Braisa, again referring to the Tzitz. The Pasuk says, Vahoy al Metzach Aaron, Vinosa Aaron es Avon HaKadoshim. So it means that the tzitz is machshir psul karbonos, but it doesn't say exactly what this psul is. The Torah doesn't specify, doesn't spell it out. V'chi eza oven hu nose, which kind of an avera was committed, and now the tzitz is maratze. And the Gemara has three possibilities. And the Gemara is going to exclude two out of the three, and by possibilization we have the third. Im avon pigul, if the Kohen had a machshav at the time of the Shechita to eat the carbon, chutzlim komo, which is called pigul, is then, or for example, he had a machshav to be zorik the dam, be machtir, the chelev, chutzli azor, outside the azor. In all these cases, we have a psul called pigul, and now what are you going to tell me that it sits as maratz and he's machshir a carbon that was pigul? Harek far nemar, in the parasha of pigul, in Vayikra Yutes, it says pigul hu lo ye rotze, that there is no possibility of Ritzui, the carbon is completely null and void, and Ritzui Tzitz is not effective. The im, and if you're going to tell me Avon Nosar, if, for example, the Kohen had a machshava at the time of the Akrova, to leave over the Basar beyond its time allotment for Achila, or to be Zorik its Dam, or be Makta the Chelep, Chutz Lizmano, Popiga was Chutz Lizmano, now we get to Nosar, which is Chutz Lizmano. And now the carbon became posel, and now you're going to tell me what the tzitz is maratza? Harek far nemar in the psul of Nosar, right there in Vayikra, the Perek Zion, it says lo yechoshev, and lo yechoshev means it has no takana, that it's not possible that tzitz is maratza, and therefore by process of elimination we only have one possibility of the power of tzitz, when the posuk says eino nose ela avon tuma. That when the Pasuk says that the tzitz is nose, as avon kadoshim, it cannot be nose any more than avon tumah. And why is tumah different than pigul and nosar? Why is tzitz powerful enough to be maratza on tumah, even though it's not maratza on pigul and nosar? And the answer is, sharei hutra mechlola b'tzibur. And here we have a principle called hutra lechlola, that if you find an Issa that has a heter to it in one particular case, in one particular circumstance, that's a kula that indicates a leniency in that very Issa. And in the case of Kodshim Bituma, we have a leniency in the case of Karban Tzibur. And that is that Tuma Hutra Bitzibur, which means one of two things, either the entire Tzibur became Tomei, or maybe all the Basar became Tomei. And the law is that if the tzibur became tomei, or rov tzibur became tomeim, then they makriv the karbon lechatchila, even though it's bituma. And this is derived from a pasuk in Karban Tomei. It says tishmu lahakriv li b'moado, and the Gemara later on in Pesachim is going to dash b'moado afilu bituma. And that's the karbon tzibur that has its definite time, urgent machayev, and that applies even bituma. So once the Torah was mekil, and it allowed for a psul tuma to be mutter in the case of a carbon tzibur, so then we're going to say that the Torah was mekil even in a carbon yachid, and the ritzui of the tzitz is going to be machshir the karbon betuma. So Gemara says, my lav, certainly this brisa would indicate that we're talking about tumas dam. That even if the dam contracted tuma and the zrika of the dam was done betuma, that's the ikar of the avodas hakarbon, the tzitz is machshir. And therefore, we must assume that dam is nitma min haTorah, and that's against Rav, who says min haTorah mashkin are not mekabel tuma at all. Omer Rav Papa, lo, we're not talking about tumas dam, but rather betumas kmotzim, which in the case of mincha, the exact parallel to zrika is called kmitza. And the kmitza generates the kapara, just like zrika in shar zvachim generates the kapara. And the kohen is kometz min mincha melo komtzo, makter kometz al mizbeach, haktar mechaperes lebalea, matira shirari mincha lachilas hakohenim. Now later on in Masechet Pesachim, we're going to have a shita of Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Yoshua is of the opinion that Ein zarkin es adam elim ken yesh basal achilo chelev lahaktara. And you could only be zarek the dam if there's basal achilo chelev lahaktara. And he says in the note over here, yesh letarit shakosim adam betumas basar o betumas chelev. Shemoyel lahem ritzi atzitz linyan sheyuchlu lizrok aleim es adam. Fine. Okay, Toshma, and with this we'll finish up on Daf Tezayin of Beis, a little bit on perhaps on Yudzayin of Nal. Toshma. Here's another kash on Rav, who says that Mashkin don't have Tumah min haTorah klal. And here we're going to go to the parasha of Chagai Novi. Right, he's one of the last of the Nevi'im, and he was around at the time they established by Sheni. The Kohanim were a little out of practice now. For 70 years, there was no Migdash. And Chagai gets a mandate from the Almighty to check out the Kohanim, test them, give them a faher to make sure the Kohanim know the laws of Kodshim and Tumah V'Tahara. So the pasuk says, "Ko amar Hashem tzvakos sha'alna es hakohanim Torah lemar." So he was commanded, Chagai was commanded by Hashem to check out the Kohanim. And here's the question that he asked, and this is in the second chapter of Chagai. Hein yisa ish besar kodesh beknaf begado. So a man is somehow carrying, let's say, a dead sheretz in his garment, you know, in the corner of his garment. And it's very interesting that the word kodesh here is used for something that's tomei, like a sheretz. But there are sources for that in the Tanakh. Anyway, v'noga v'knofo el halechem. So we have the following chain. We have now a sheretz that comes in contact with lechem, v'yela nazid, and the lechem now comes in contact with a cooked kdera, something that's being tavshil, and that comes in contact with yayin, which comes in contact with shemen, v'yel kol machel hayigdosh. Hayigdosh means, is it kosher? In other words, can we be... Can we bring this kodshim? And he says here, Adam nosei beknaf begado basar sheretz. He says, basar kodesh u'basar sheretz, shekein kodesh u'loshen tuma, kakosuv v'gam kodesh hayo ba'aretz. And that's a reference to tuma. Okay. So now, a man is carrying in the corner of his garment a sheretz, a dead sheretz. And now the sheretz comes in contact with lechem. So the lechem becomes what we call a rishon letumah. And that lechem in turn comes in contact with a tavshil and makes the tavshil into sheni letumah. Now this tavshil comes in contact with yayin, which is Yayin L'Nesachim, and that's called a Shlishi L'Tumah. The Yayin now come in contact with Shemen, Shemen of Niskei HaShemen, and for that matter, any Kodshim. And the question is, does it create a reveal L'Tumah? And the Kohanim answered, no, it's not possible. Well, let's just turn to the top of Yud Zayin. We'll finish here on the top of Yud Zayin. V'Omar Rav Ishtabesh Kan. The Kohanim actually did not know the right answer, because we know that a reveal L'Tumah applies to Kodshim, and it become possible. Now, Chagai was talking about Yayin and Shemen in the Azara that are used for libations on the Mizbeah. And yet Rav himself says that they became Tmeim as a Chamishi, as a Revi'i L'Tumah. So that contradicts everything that we've been saying here, that according to Rav, Tumas Mashkin is the Rabbana. Now again, even if you want to claim that Chagai was testing the Kohanim to see if they knew about the laws of Tumah Derabanan, and these Tumas Derabanan were already in vogue and enacted at the time of Chagai Anavi, but nevertheless, we're talking about in the Azara, Mashkim in the Azara, like the Yayin or the Shemen of Nesachim, that's Mamish in the Azara, and we pour this on the Mizbeah. And Rav says that there's no Tumah Derabanan in Mashkin with regards to Beit Mitbachaya. So how could Rav himself now turn around and say the Kohanim made a mistake when they responded to Chagai and they said that the Kodshim are Ksherim, when in fact the Kodshim are Psulim? It means that Mashkim, like Yayin and Shemin, are susceptible to Tumah against Rav. So there's an inner contradiction in Rav. And the Gemara answers, Midei hu taima ela l'Rav. In other words, you're asking Akasha on the sheet of Rav. Rav himself holds Mashki Beit Mitbachaya Tani, meaning Mashki Beit Mitbachaya are Tahorim. And we learned that from the Eidus of Rav Yossi Ben Yoezer, that only Mashki Beit Mitbachaya in the Azara Tahorim. And now we're talking about Dam Zvachim Umayim Sheba Azara, that since the Tumas Mashkin is only Drabonon, Lo Gozer Aleim Chachomim Tumah, Avo Mashki Meim Bid Bechaya, that's Mitame. Now, the Gemara is differentiating between Mit Bechaya and Mid Bechaya. Mit Bechaya means in the Azor. And all the Dam, all the Mashkim in the base Mit Bechaya in the Azor are Tahor. But as far as Midbachai is concerned, the Dalit of Midbachai replaces a Zion in Lashon Kodesh, so it's Mizbachai. And now we're talking about Shemen and Yain Shel Nesachim, which are Mashkim that are Kravim Ala Mizbeach. We pour them onto the Mizbeach. They are Mitamin. They have the same status as Mashkim Chulin, where the Rabbanon instituted Gzera of Tumah in Mashkim, and therefore Chagai was checking out the Kohanim in Tumah Derabanan because it was already instituted during his time period, and in fact there is Tumah Derabanan like in Chulin in the case of Mashkin Akrevim L'Mizbeach. So what we have to figure out here, and that B'li Neder will try to see if we can work out anything for tomorrow, I understand that the Mayim of Bei Mitbachaya has nothing to do with the Mizbeach, because that Mayim was used for Hadochas HaKarbonos, as we said before. But I'm not sure exactly what the Dam here in the Bei Mitbachaya is all about. Dam Zvachim. I assume what he means by Dam, I'll have to see if I can clarify this, he means Dam that wasn't received in the klesharis, in the kus, or maybe he means shiari adam. I'm not sure. Okay, that needs clarification. Now, Rabosai, before, let me not forget to point out that later on in the Gemara, Shmuel is going to have to hold that mashki mizbeach mitamim achirim, because his shita is in explaining the pasuk in Haggai that the Kohanim responded kiddin, they got the right answer. And the shemen wasn't contaminated because it was a chamishi. But if the mashkim is be'echo tahorim ilutami acherim, then it would be possible that if there was yayin and shemen rishonim, they were both a rishon l'tuma, it wouldn't be metamim. Okay, then, this is where we're going to stop here on the top of Daf Yud Zayin, Amid Aleph, Gufa, 3 lines down from the top.